On The Moving Icon, host Chris Vlachonasios explores the world of Eastern Orthodox Christian filmmakers and artists, as well as examines popular films through an Orthodox lens.
In today's episode, I will be talking about the recent Bazan Fest, the world's first Orthodox Christian short film festival that was entirely online. I will discuss each film, giving a short review, but not revealing too much, spoiling it for those who have yet to watch them. In its first year, 12 films were selected to screen on the Orthodox Filmmakers and Artists YouTube channel. Viewers had 1 week, known as Screening Week, to view each film, interact, and pick their audience favourite. The channel received thousands upon thousands of views from around the world, giving filmmakers the chance to be seen and appreciated. But the films can still be viewed, even now, and will remain on the OFA YouTube channel indefinitely. The aim of the festival was to promote films with Orthodox themes, culture, and values. Although not all films contained a direct Orthodox spiritual message, but what they all had in common was the filmmaker maintained an Orthodox varoma when making the film. The awards night of the first annual Bazan Fest occurred on the 22nd of February 2014. It just so happened to coincide with Melbourne's White Night, the world's largest multimedia and arts event, which attracted over 500,000 people, making it quite appropriate to host the awards on the same night. The winners for 2014 were: audience favourite was won by Holy Fire and Busker; best screenplay and best film went to Power of Dogs; best director was won by Brevetti; and finally, best youth film went to The Last Stone Grinder. You can also view each filmmaker's acceptance speech on the OFA YouTube channel. As part of the judging panel, it was extremely difficult to choose a winner, as the quality of submissions surpassed all expectations. Each exhibited skill and a unique style, making them all intriguing to watch. The films were a true reflection of the Orthodox filmmaker, demonstrating creativity that was both organic and insightful, just like the faith. The first film to kick off the program was the Australian Dance for Two, a tribute to classic Greek cinema from the 1960s. Having screened at several Greek film festivals around the world, this fun and energetic film by Nondis Polos takes the audience on a nostalgic musical journey. Starting off as a black and white dance-off, we soon burst into a vibrant world of colour, sound, and movement. A stylish, joyful, and mesmerizing experience. Well directed and perfectly choreographed, watching Dance for Two makes you forget about your cares and want to dance. The Desperate Wife Hunter was one of the most offbeat films in the program. Set in the head of a young man, we get to learn what criteria makes up his idea of a perfect wife. This film was effective at drawing a reaction with its oddball and at times creepy sense of humour. A simple film with a lot of kookiness and hammy acting, making it fun to watch. I now come to the winner of Best Director, Brevetti, a heavenly experience about a nunnery in Georgia of the same name. If one feature stands out, it has to be the cinematography. Masterfully shot, the relationship between Orthodoxy, the seasons, and the monastery's buildings are interwoven to reveal the spiritual essence in all of God's creation. Using panning and tracking shots, the filmmaker was able to capture the beauty of the monastery and its nuns. There's a lush vibrancy and a deep understanding of the mystery of the faith. You will be transformed by this place and transfixed by the beauty of candle-lit naves and swaying chandeliers. From the sublime to the warm-hearted, a man opens up in a husband's love. The film's effectiveness rests in its simplicity and honesty. A highly emotional film, A Husband's Love explores the private lives of two soulmates, still together after all of life's hardships. I found the filmmaker's vox pop style insightful and engaging. The essence of this story is about true love, which is a great theme considering the film was made during Pascha, also capturing the joy of this great feast. The documentary, Holy Fire and Pascha, was the winner of audience favourite. It tells a personal account of the trials and struggles of witnessing the Holy Fire. Although there are many films about this subject, I think what made this film unique was the fact that, just like the experience itself, Each story is as different as the individual, thereby providing a fresh perspective. This film brought this annual miracle to life in a fascinating way, allowing the viewer to experience, even for a brief moment, this remarkable spiritual event. However, I would like to leave Justin Daniel to say a few words about his film.
The Holy Fire in Pascha at the Holy Sepulchre in Jerusalem was originally created as a video blog as a part of a greater series called A Lenten Journey Through the Holy Land, which I produced for the Orthodox Christian Network. It uses a journalistic narrative style with montage of photography and film to try to tell the story of a pilgrim's journey during Great Lent through the Holy Land, both revealing the sights and sounds of daily life, as well as witnessing to some of the special events and miracles there during that time, the crown of which is the Holy Light at Pascha. If you're interested in seeing any of the other video blogs, they're all available at my YouTube channel, Haji JD. I was inspired to create these from previous trips and pilgrimages to the region and a desire to bring back the story of our Orthodox brothers and sisters there, the Palestinians, and what the Christian experience is really like there. For we don't get enough in the media, at least in the West, about this, much less any witness to the miraculous things that evidence the truth of our faith. So my desire is that this film would be educational and informative to you, as well as raise awareness. We, of course, in endeavoring to do this great work, encountered many difficulties, including terrorist bombings that occurred while I was there, and difficulties with added security and police surrounding the service of the Holy Light itself. But I don't want to give too much away, but please go and view the film and you'll see for yourself. We cover all the positives and negatives. And my desire is that this would be an offering to the church, as well as to our Lord, to share the experiences that I myself and fellow pilgrims experienced there, of the divine and of the miraculous, of this tremendous amount of grace that's poured out, and serve as a witness and raise awareness for the plight that our Orthodox Palestinian brothers and sisters experience there.
Perhaps one of the most unusual films was Supergirl, an experimental piece dealing with suicide and hope. The main character, Josh, has lost his family in a tragic fire and his will to live. Yet in the background, a mysterious girl using the power of prayer is there beside him. Supergirl explores the parameters of fear and its ability to destroy those whose faith is only skin deep. Interesting use of lighting and dreamlike sets makes this a surreal viewing experience. The only web series in the festival was Coffee with Sister Vasa, the Christmas episode. This is the work of an Orthodox nun living in Vienna, Austria. Her weekly show explores various aspects of the Orthodox faith through kooky humor and plenty of caffeine. Sister Vasa's style removes any preconceptions one might have of a theological-based show, instead being entertained by her warm personality and offbeat comedy. The Key in Frame is a drama composed of characters from a yet-to-be-produced trilogy film project by the filmmaker Daniel Powell. The film reviews the deep psychological undercurrents of each character, giving the audience an insight into their faults and fears. The Key in Frame is a film that says a lot about people who struggle to truly understand who they are. We then had the shortest documentary in the program, The Last Stone Grinder. In less than 5 minutes, the film efficiently and effectively tells the unfortunate reality of the last stonemason who grinds stone by hand in Romania. The film beautifully captures the elements of this artist's world. We see how the work, tools, and environment have shaped this old man's personality and sense of being. The cinematography is just as beautiful as Brevetti, revealing the awe of a lonely world where a man seems to face the end of an era and even his death in good faith. Moving on to the winner of Best Screenplay and Best Film, Power of Dogs is an example of great Orthodox filmmaking. I was inspired by the multi-layered story and fantastic acting by the lead role. For much of the film, very little is said, but volumes have spoken about orthodoxy through gestures and composition. However, I would like to leave Joachim Vassi to say a few words to give us some greater insight into his film.
Power of Dogs is a very personal project for me. It started out as a completely different film that even had a different name. The first draft was an out-of-this-world fairy tale. At the time of its writing, I began discovering Eastern Orthodoxy, which, along with my life experiences at the time, started changing the shape of the story. I went through many drafts over the next few months until I arrived at the version we used for shooting. The film was a slow evolution. Unlike my previous projects, the idea did not simply come to me, but grew and matured into its final form. Power of Dogs will always be important for me because it was a constant companion as I learned more about Orthodoxy and decided it was a path I wanted to follow. But that doesn't make the film any easier to watch. It is a film about failure and falling to our knees when we selfishly cannot see beyond ourselves, when we call for God's help, but through pride fail to recognize His helping hand. Making the film was a trial in itself. Every single day something happened and I thought, well, it can't get any worse. And the next day it always did. Almost as if there were forces trying their hardest to make sure the film wouldn't get made. My cinematographer told me, after we finished shooting, that at one point, amid chaos on set, he was trying to find me. He discovered me alone in the forest, praying. And at that point, he said he knew we would actually finish the film. I can say without any doubt in my mind that it was no small miracle. I hope the film speaks to people, even though I realize that since it's so personal, it may at times be hard to decode. I wish I could offer an easy explanation, but it simply cannot be put into words.
I thank Joachim for his film and hopefully inspiring many other Orthodox filmmakers to follow his example of visual storytelling. The experimental Prometheus by Californian film student Ines Alcul reveals the ancient Greek tale with a slight Christian edge. Set in the present, Ines's Prometheus portrays man's desire to control creation, giving rise to a modern electrified world. Yet he is unable to handle his power. Repenting, he returns the light back to the heavens, restoring order. I thought this version added more layers to the original story, making it more relevant to our current state of being. The final film to screen was Lucky Girls, a documentary about the Theotokos Orthodox girls' orphanage in India. It was a powerful and awakening film, taking us to a world where gender condemns you. Abandoned and forgotten, we see how this orphanage and the dedicated people, including Sister Nectaria, give these girls a sense of purpose and, most importantly, love. A poignant and touching film from start to finish. So after viewing, what does this reveal about the state and outlook for global Orthodox filmmaking? Judging from what I've seen and the trend in the last few years, I think Orthodox filmmaking is on the cusp of an exciting emergence. All these filmmakers were able to blend their Orthodoxy into their work, producing original and beautiful films. The emotional impact of each film varied greatly from the heartfelt A Husband's Love to the multi-layered Power of Dogs. Due to the mystical nature of our faith, which has been contemplated for centuries, gives us a dynamic and all-encompassing approach to understanding the world and how to express it. Through professional cinematography in films like Rivetti, The Last Stone Grinder, and Power of Dogs, the filmmakers were able to capture an essence that cannot be explained, but needs to be experienced. If such Orthodox creativity is encouraged, hopefully it will bleed into the general multimedia sphere, giving us a voice and greater influence. If you haven't had a chance to watch Bazanfest 2014, all films can still be viewed and will remain online via the Orthodox Filmmakers and Artists YouTube channel. If you want to learn more about Orthodoxy, media and the arts, visit the OFA blog at OrthodoxFilmmakersAndArtists.blogspot.com or like the blog on Facebook. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to The Moving Icon with Chris Vlachonasios. This has been a production of the Orthodox Christian Network.